You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension comprised of knowledge, opinions, and entertainment. A journey on a virtual information highway into a wondrous land whose boundaries are more distant than the outer reaches of the Twitter sphere. Your next stop, The Trend Zone.
Hello and welcome to The Trend Zone. Casey Mallon here with Dave Hewitt, and each week at the Football Radio Show, we give you our expert insight analysis and opinions on the top trending stories in the NFL. Dave, I'm going Wolfman Jack on your brother. Can you hang with that?
Just for the intro, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I can handle that.
All right. That's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, The Trend Zone. In today's episode, we're going to talk our fantasy go-back starts of the week, survival picks, FRS power rankings this week. They'll be mine. And, of course, the best games coming up in Week 13, Dave. But you know we can't get started without the Nugs. Bro, lay it on the peoples. Hashtag Nug.
All right, dude. This is a good one. And it's a trend for this whole season, man. There are 99 games decided by 7 points or less through week 12. That is the most ever of that kind in NFL history, dude. Over 8 a week. All these games are so tight, bro. It's ridiculous, man.
It's the best, dude. I just love it. And each week it gets better and better, dude.
It's down to the wire. All the time, man. We don't even know which game to look at when there's 2 minutes left.
Oh, so good. So good. All right. Speaking of so good, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe not so good for us, but the fantasy season. I'm sure the way your season is going, you must have a go back start of the week for us.
Well, my moronic move was starting Adam Vinatieri of the Colts in both of my leagues, but that he's only got 1 point. But that being aside, in our league, I got completely and utterly destroyed. That's been a trend this year. But in my other league, Casey, which I know everybody's thrilled to hear about, I should have done the most illogical, which is sat Matt Forte and Larry Fitzgerald and played Golden Tate and Jerick McKinnon. That would have won me the game. I lost by 5 points, and that wacky swap would have gotten me the win in the league that I'm actually contending in. What about you, man?
Dang.
Well, crazy, right?
I've had this problem all season long. Shady, Melvin. This week, should have gone with Shady. It would have given me more room, but I won anyway, so I'm not sweating it. But I'm going to ride Shady from here on out. Your guy, Melvin Gordon's on the bench, Dave.
Benching Melvin Gordon. Okay. Well, maybe that'll motivate him, Casey. Maybe he'll have another big game. All right, let's move this thing along, Casey. The survival pool is next, Casey. And how'd you do in the survival pool this week?
I'm still dead. I've been dead for about a month, just sitting over here, frozen, turning blue, rig mortis set in.
Okay, well, Casey, I have followed your strategy ever since you died, which is the team that's playing Cleveland is my team, and this week it was the New York Giants at Cleveland, 27-13 Giants win. This thing keeps working out, you know?
Oh, wait. Sorry, Dave. You're not going to be able to do that this week, my friend. Cleveland and Tennessee are both on a bye. Isn't it weird that we had everybody back and then these guys go on a bye week 13?
Well, that is weird, man. I wonder why they what motivated that strange gap, right? What a weird schedule.
Well, you're going to have to go a little different. But your Giants were the most popular correct pick, and Seattle was the most popular incorrect pick. So choose wisely, my friend.
Indeed, indeed. All right, Case, moving on. It is the Casey Power Rankings for the Football Radio Show. Get us started, dude, with the fifth best team.
Actually, I'm going to go with some honorable mentions first, Dave.
Okay.
Those Tampa Bay Bucks, man, those wacky Bucks are really starting to play some good football.
They are.
Like what I'm seeing out of them 2 weeks ago, they go into Arrowhead and do the Chiefs. Last week, they host the Seahawks, and they hold them to 5 points, bro. I really like what's going on with them and with the Tennessee Titans. You got a couple Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks that are starting to be playmakers in the league. A lot of fun to watch. But I digress because they're not in my top five. So making their debut at number five are those 8-3 Giants, baby. A 6-game win streak. I don't like this team, Dave. I'm actually hoping I jinx them, putting them in the top five.
Yeah.
The 6 wins in a row has to get you something.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, they've been playing exceptional football. I don't know exactly how good they are, but you cannot argue with a win streak like that, right? I mean, I don't know if they deserve to be in the spot you put them, but we'll talk about that later.
All right. Well, then at number four, I don't know if you're going to like these guys either, but I got those Seattle Seahawks. I know they laid an egg in Tampa Bay last week, but I just feel like they have so many elements there that, mm-hmm. you know, every once in a while you leave one in the bed. that's what they did, but they're still in my top five.
Yeah, I like their, obviously, they've got the champions mindset, but I'm a little bit worried about that running game right now, Casey. Guys dropping like flies in that backfield.
Yeah, dude, Thomas Rawls, he's got to stay healthy. Wasn't able to do it last year. He's finally back. They're going to need a big contribution from him, dude.
For that.
All right, number three, I got the Oakland Raiders. Dude, even with that busted up pinky, Derek Carr comes back, finds a way to get that win. This was the type of game the Raiders always lost in the past.
Yeah.
And this is the type of game they keep winning this year, man. And they are a lot of fun to watch, dude.
No doubt about it. They've snuck out some awesome victories this season, including last week against the Panthers. Defense is a little suspect, but the way that offense is playing, who cares, you know?
Yeah, right?
Man.
All right, number two, Dave, I have those New England Patriots. It wasn't sexy against the Jets, but those guys usually play a pretty gross game, but... Any week you feel like they can beat whoever is in front of them. And they found a way to win that game last week when everything wasn't really going their way. So, you know.
Right.
I'm sick of talking about the Patriots. They're always good. They're always yeah. great.
No argument here. They're penciling into the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, they're there already. And you know who's at number one, baby? No surprise here. My Dallas Cowboys coming up with a huge win. On Thanksgiving, they've been tested in a lot of games, and this one there too. They got out to a lead. Washington came back. They found a way to get it done. So, love what's happening at Big D here, and I'm rolling with my Cowboys. It's not often that you can say your team is the best in the NFL,
yeah.
But I can say it right now, and I'm believing it at least for a couple more days.
Oh. No arguments again here, Casey. I love that offensive line, what they're able to do for Zeke and Dak. The two rookies of the year, basically, on the offensive side of the football is amazing. What's going on with the Cowboys?
All right, Dave, let's get to some awesome Week 13 action, brother.
All right, dude, we'll get it started, man. It's none other than your Dallas Cowboys at the Minnesota Vikings. Dallas Cowboys, just a 3.5-point favorites in Minnesota, dude.
Yeah, once Sam got there with the Vikes, I started worrying about this game, and I'm still a little worried about it. Minnesota's not been playing that great. Sam says, hey, we got to air this out a little bit. They got to figure out how to get that run game going, and it's just been non-existent. Mm-hmm. Little good news, dude. AD has been running on the sidelines, not sure how quick we could see him get back, but boy, that would be just what the doctor ordered. It's going to be a raucous crowd there on Thursday night in the new stadium, dude. But how about the Dallas Cowboys, man? Offense, we mentioned all the guys there, and on defense, going to get Barry Church back. He's going to help in that secondary there, Dave, and the Cowboys can actually clinch a playoff spot on Thursday night.
Nice.
If they win and Tampa loses, or we win and Washington loses. How sweet would that be to have another Washington loss? But I really like what's going on with the Cowboys. Worried about this game. If we can't get pressure on Sam, he's going to be able to get some plays down the field. And we just got to keep Dak upright. But I want to see a tough challenge. And hopefully they can rise above and make it 11. This one could go to 11.
Yeah, it's a Minnesota defense that if they don't win the game for the team, it seems like they don't win that game. So
yeah.
They're going to have a brilliant performance against, you know, that top-notch Cowboys offense. It's going to be difficult.
Yeah, dude, we can't let Cordero get off. Can't give them any cheapies. All right, moving ahead, dude. Kansas City Chiefs at the Atlanta Falcons, and the Falcons are 3.5-point favorites at home.
Yeah, man, and these are two very, very exciting teams for me. Kansas City coming off that huge overtime win at Denver, maybe one of the best games all season there.
Yeah,
but even at 8-3, they're trailing Oakland still, so, and just one game in front of Denver. There's no guarantees at all, so every win is going to be important now. And Alex Smith, you know, he is the perfect quarterback for Andy Reid's style of football right now. They just play mistake-free football and wait for you to mess up. They take advantage of it, and they've got some great playmakers. Travis Kelce jumps out on the offensive side of the football. He is cranking it this year, and obviously it's been a couple years that he's been one of the best tight ends in the league. On the defensive side, Justin Houston, last week, 10 tackles, 3 sacks, and a forced fumble, man.
Oh, that's all?
Yeah, I think he's back. And obviously, Dee Ford, also a huge pass rushing threat. This is a really, really underrated Kansas City Chiefs defense. You move it over to Atlanta on the other side. They come off a big win versus Arizona, really snuffing out a desperate Arizona team there. But they're just 7-4, and that, like you mentioned, that Tampa Bay team, 6-5, right behind them. They still play each other down the road, but there are a couple of winnable games on Atlanta's schedule coming up. This one would be really nice to capitalize and set themselves up in for the final four games and be smooth sailing into the playoffs. Obviously, that big one coming up still against Carolina and New Orleans, some divisional stuff.
Yeah, the biggest change with this Falcons team, we talked about it last week, was that they're very physical. They haven't had that toughness to them in the past. You could boss them around, kind of be a bully against them. That doesn't seem to be happening this year. This is a very interesting game. Dude, I'm shocked that the Chiefs won that one when it was so close on the line. I just don't trust Andy Reid in those situations. But, hey, man, that was a huge win at Denver. This one's going to be awesome to
watch. No doubt. And this Atlanta, the offense is number one in the league at 32.5 points a game. Matt Ryan, a passer rating on the season of 114. I mean, he is lighting it up. Obviously, we know about Julio Jones, Coleman and Freeman.
Julio only having 35 yards last week.
he's hit and miss. But when you hit and miss and you end up with 1,100-plus yards on the season, you're hitting more than missing, man. So that's going to be a fun game to watch, though. All right, Casey, move it along. It is the Houston Texans at the Green Bay Packers. Packers at home, favored by 6 in this one.
Yeah, dude, Houston, man, they are so dysfunctional on offense. Osweiler has not been good, especially throwing the ball downfield. He's not lived up to that contract that he signed in the offseason. I wonder if Houston has got a little buyer's remorse there. Still have Lamar Miller, one of the most exciting running backs in the league, and DeAndre Hopkins out there, and Will Fuller's been somewhat involved too. It's curious to me that this offense isn't better. Osweiler just has to play better. Good news for Houston is that Green Bay defense is a complete mash unit, bro. They have backups playing, so they've got a lot of questions there. On Monday night, they did get some timely plays from that defense, kind of snuffed out those Eagles, and Aaron Rodgers, dude, maybe his best game of the season. He was completely awesome. Devontae Adams looks like a star in the making. And maybe, just maybe, that running game is slowly improving. Starks was a little bit, not got a big yard per carry average, but maybe Christian Michael can get in the mix too. The Packers won that first must-win game they had on the schedule. Let's see what happens down the stretch.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm not sold on Houston either. And, you know, they're in an easy division, and this Packers team maybe turned the corner on Monday night, getting that big, big win that they absolutely desperately needed. And you got Aaron Rodgers on one side of the football. I'm not going to count him out at this point in time.
All right, up next, we got the Miami Dolphins at the Baltimore Ravens. And the Ravens are 3.5-point favorites in this one, Dave.
Yeah, and if the playoffs started today, these would both be playoff squads, man. Miami coming off a tough win, though, against San Francisco, and Baltimore coming off a big win, really crushing out Cincinnati and damn near finishing Cincinnati on the season. So big win there. But the Dolphins are extremely hot, dude. One of the hottest teams in the league. They're going
so hot, dude.
They're going for their 7th win in a row. They were 1-4, man.
Wow.
And down and out at that point. And they have stacked together 6 wins in a row. It is very impressive what they're doing. Ryan Tannehill, historically very hot and cold, has been very hot of late. 9 TD passes, just 1 interception, almost 105 rating in the past 6 games. He is really, really putting together a nice stretch during this win streak. Last week, his passer rating over 130, so tearing it up last week. Jay Ajayi, part of this winning streak is when Jay Ajayi came onto the scene and really exploded for those big, big games, a couple of 200-yard games there. He's averaging 121.7 yards a game, so he's really running the football very well. And second in the league in yards per carry at over 5 yards per carry for Jay Ajayi. So big time playing right there on that Miami offensive side of the football. On the other side, you got Joe Flacco. He is elite, arguably. And they're really struggling, really, to kind of overall offensively to find themselves running the football with Kenneth Dixon. He's gotten it going a little bit in the last couple of games. This is a really good defense that's really sort of emerging lately. They are 4th in the league with just over 18 points a game offensively, but scoring under 20 points a game. So they're just barely scoring more than they're giving up. But yeah, you obviously have a really good defense. Terrell Suggs last week, 2 sacks and 2 forced fumbles. Very impressive performance. Mostly impressive, though, last week was Justin Tucker with 3 over 50-yard field goals last weekend, 4 out of 4. He is really, really an awesome weapon to have at your disposal, especially in a close game. And we seem to have those every single game, Casey. So this is an interesting matchup, though. Miami's a good running team. Ravens, not a good running team, but they are the top defense in the league against the run. So, and the Dolphins can't defend the run. So this is a weird matchup. The strength on strength with bad running versus bad run defense and good running versus good run defense. So you call it. All right, Casey, up next is Detroit Lions at the New Orleans Saints. Saints at home, favored by 5.
Yeah, dude, these cardiac cats, Detroit's had all of their games within one score in the fourth quarter, and they have 7 come from behind victories this season. And they do it on both sides of the ball. The Lions lead the NFL with 4 interceptions in the last 2 minutes of a game.
Wow.
And also, dude, and they do it on special teams too. Prater, dude, he's got 11 field goals when the Lions have trailed this season. That's 2nd most in the NFL. And he's got 6 game-winning or tying field goals in the final 2 minutes of the fourth quarter and overtime. So that dude is clutch too.
Big time.
Matt Stafford, the only QB in NFL history to lead his team on 7 game-winning drives in the fourth quarter or overtime in the team's first 11 games. So they'll hit you with defense. They'll hit you with special teams. They'll hit you with offense. I really give all the credit to Jim Bob Cooter. Not really. I just wanted to say Jim Bob Cooter. But the offense has been better since he took over.
Yeah.
And on defense, the Lions just limit big plays. They rank 3rd in the NFL. They've only allowed 34 plays of 20 yards or more. The league average is 41, so that kind of shows you where they're there. They're just under there. But you flip it over, they're going to need that defense to be on point, baby, because Drew Brees is coming after them, and he is just vintage Drew Brees, man. I thought he might have hit the wall last year. That's not the case at all.
Nope.
He's got 30 touchdowns so far this year, dude. He threw 4 touchdowns last week and ran for 1. His 30 TD passes, that extends an NFL streak to 9 consecutive seasons, bro.
Wow.
It's just like, this guy is money, and a recipient of a lot of those is Michael Thomas, dude. This rookie leads the Saints in receptions, yards, and touchdowns. And now they have the 1-2 punch at running back. Are you kidding me, bro? Ingram and Hightower last week, they combined for almost 300 scrimmage yards and 3 TDs. And you think this defense is not that good for the Saints, but since they got blown out in week 3 by the Falcons, all 5 of their other losses have been by a combined 15 points, dude. So they've been in all the games. So this team is someone that could be really scary come playoff time. They get a little better on defense. They got the run game. They got the pass game. Drew Brees, bro.
Dude, it's funny. This is going to be a very fun game to watch. It seems like the Saints could play up or down to anybody's level, and the Lions always keep it close till the very end. They decide to take the lead late in the game, right? So it's going to be fun.
Cardiac Cats at 7 come from behind wins. I'm counting 2 left. So do they want to use those now or in the postseason?
Save them.
Yeah, save them. All right, up next, you got the Buffalo Bills at the Oakland Raiders, and the Raiders are 3-point favorites at home.
Yeah, Buffalo coming off a win versus Jayville, and Oakland coming off a huge win versus the Carolina Panthers. They were dominating, then they were losing, and then they got back in it and won the game late. That was an awesome game for the Raiders. When you look at this Buffalo offense, Tyrod Taylor is a run-pass threat, and that's one of the reasons that this is the top-running team in the NFL. Another reason, of course, is LeSean McCoy. When he's healthy and good to go, he is very, very impressive, over a 5-yard average running the football there. But they are the worst passing team in the league, so a really one-dimensional team. At least that dimension is running the football. On the other side,
I like that dimension.
On the other side, it's Derek Carr, who's really, really playing some exceptional football. Some people want to talk about him as an MVP dark horse candidate, and I can't disagree necessarily. His passer rating over 100, 22 touchdowns, just 5 interceptions. He's playing exceptionally well, and having some nice weapons like Amari Cooper and Crabtree on the outside there is definitely helping them quite a bit. Latavius Murray back in action. He's been averaging over 100 yards per game in the last 3 games. When healthy, he's a very, very effective runner. And before he got healthy. When they had the other backs just handling committee, they were still running the ball relatively effectively. So when you look at Raiders defensively, they're not very good statistically speaking, but they have been playing better, I think, of late. And obviously they have Khalil Mack. He's a huge difference maker. He had an interception, a TD, a sack, and a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery last week. Yeah, that's right. All that crap, all in one game. The interception.
That's a season's worth.
The interception for a touchdown was game-changing, though. It was awesome. Yeah. Awesome play. Great instincts. 9 sacks on the season for Mack. Look for this Raider team. They just keep finding a way to get it done, man. It's exciting.
Yeah, dude. I obviously, we got to see how that pinky holds up a week afterwards. You know what? Derek Carr went back in there after that thing got busted up and was able to finish. Let's see what happens after it's been swollen for a week.
No doubt about it, dude. All right. Up next, Casey, the New York Giants at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers at home favored by 6.
Yeah, dude. These Giants, man. We talked about this earlier. That's 6 in a row. And they've had all their games within one score in the fourth quarter this season, too. So they like to keep it close, find a way to win it at the end. They can't really run. That might be an issue, but Rashad Jennings has 100-plus scrimmage yards in 2 of his past 3, so they're finally getting a little bit of that to open up. But that defense, dude, they spent all that money on it. It looks like it's coming together a little bit. Last week, JPP, dude, had 3 sacks, forced fumble, and a 43-yard touchdown.
Is that 1 sack for each of his fingers on his one hand, on his firecracker hand?
I don't think there's 3 left on there, dude. That's a half for each of them. But he was able to pull McNown down. So those stuff, they're doing some work. But that defense, man, like I said, that might have been their best performance of the year. Although they were playing the Cleveland Browns, so you make a call there. And on the other side, dude, Big Ben, he's really heating up, dude. 6 TDs, 0 interceptions, and a 114.7 passer rating in his past 3 games. Le'Veon Bell, dude, he's looking for his 4th game in a row with a rushing TD, dude. He is just crushing it as of late. He leads all NFL running backs with 142 scrimmage yards per game. They have Antonio Brown, too, dude. Yeah, 3 touchdowns last week, 5 TDs in his past 4. He leads the NFL with 82 catches, and he's tied with receiving touchdowns at 10. So the Steelers can hit you in a bunch of ways. They still need that second receiver to step up. It looked like it was Coates earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Eli Rogers has kind of been there, but they can hit you in a bunch of ways. But they need this win bad, dude. They're sitting there right behind the Ravens. So the Steelers, probably the only way to the playoffs is through the division. Got to win this one, man. Stay on target.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun game. The Giants, you know, you got to figure they're going to lose one eventually along the way after winning so many in a row. This one in Pittsburgh seems like a likely candidate. And like you mentioned, I love what Big Ben, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown, that threesome is awesome, dude.
All right, up next, we got the Carolina Panthers at the Seattle Seahawks, and those Hawks are 6.5-point favorites at home.
Yeah, and Carolina coming off that really disappointing loss at Oakland, where it seemed like they had rallied.
We've been saying that like every week. Carolina coming off a really disappointing loss.
No kidding, though, but at 4-7, it becomes even more disappointing because 4-7 is a pretty, you run the table just to get to 9-7. That's a tough. And then you're still no guarantees of anything at that point. Seattle at home, on the other hand, hey, they're already in the playoffs right now at 7-3-1. They're feeling pretty good about themselves, even though they played really poorly in Tampa and took that loss. So, you know, this is, of course, a rematch of last year's NFC divisional playoff game. That one was won by Carolina. But this is not really the MVP season that Cam was having last year where everything was Superman and dabs and dances. This one's a lot more difficult and frustrating for him. And then Russell Wilson on the other side, now that he's gotten a little healthier with that ankle, he is really heating up for the playoffs right now. So it's going to be pretty exciting. But when you look at the Panthers on offense, they're decent overall. Greg Olsen is exceptional, as we know. He's second in the league with 58 receptions at tight end position, leading with reception yards at almost 800. And then Jonathan Stewart really running the ball pretty well as well. But Carolina is a good run defense, but they're a bad pass defense. So when you look at their defense, with likely no Kuechly because of the concussion situation. That looked pretty severe, so I'm assuming that he may not go. This is a bad pass defense, so Seattle might really look to take advantage of that mismatch there, especially with Kuechly. He can cover so much ground there. moving it over to Seattle with the football. Russell Wilson, 18 TD passes and just two interceptions for over 110 rating in the past nine home games. You know, as always, the Seattle team plays better at home. They have been struggling to run the ball. Procise got hurt. We don't know. I don't think he'll be in for this game. Rawls is back, but he only had 38 yards last game. So they have not found the answer there yet, and we know they love to play defense and be able to run the football. Of course, they do have Doug Baldwin, and then you have Jimmy Graham. He's, after being kind of non-existent last year, they found how to use him. He's got over 800 yards and eight touchdowns on the season. Seattle, on the defensive side of the football, they're the number one defense in terms of points given up at just 17 points exactly. They are still a solid defense, and they're planning on riding that defense to victory this week.
Yeah, Kelvin Benjamin for the Panthers really hasn't gotten back. And on defense, as big as a nutcase as this guy seems to be, miss Josh Norman over there, dude. There's no doubt about it. He's playing pretty good in Washington, but nobody's playing in that secondary for the Panthers right now.
They're definitely not as stout of a defense as they were last year.
Oh, dude, and at 4-8, bro, I mean, that's not mathematically eliminated, but you ain't getting in at 8-8.
Yeah, you don't.
NFC,
you don't want to be in desperation mode heading to Seattle. That's fact.
Brutal. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of The Trend Zone. Head over to YouTube and subscribe. Get over to Instagram and follow us there, too. And, of course, on Twitter. All right, guys, enjoy the game. He's Dave. I'm Casey. We're out of here.